Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our current series of studies, Genitive Forms of the Title of God. And we almost apologize when we use such a high-sounding title. Genitive Forms. Now, the reason that we've used this word, genitive, is because it is a word of origin. Genitive and Genesis are synonymous. Now, we have chosen, or has been chosen for us, rather, the first book of the Bible is called Genesis because it is a book of origins. And these titles of God, the God of peace, the God of love, the God of patience, the God of comfort, the God of truth, the God of hope, are so named because He is the origin of these graces, these characteristics that He wants to see developed in you and me. Now today, we have chosen for our subject the God of patience. And we will be reading in our Bibles in the 15th chapter and 14th chapter of Romans, if you care to follow us in the Scriptures, and it might be profitable to do so. In the fourth verse, of the 15th chapter of Romans, we read these words, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might have might through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. This is the only instance in the Scripture where He is called the God of patience, but it relates to the text. It relates to the context, as perhaps we should say. Now the God of patience, He will give you the patience that you will need to deal with brethren. Now, in the 14th and the 15th chapters of Romans, we have problems that arise because of the Jewish element in the church, which was set on ritual and had many observances as days and things that they did, and the Gentiles that had nothing of that sort. And those Gentiles would have a lot more freedom because they did not feel any binding obligations to do and observe certain days. We read at the beginning of chapter 14, "I can't think of anything to do better than to let the Scripture bring the subject before us." Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs, no meat in his diet. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." I can't think of a portion of Scripture that is more needed in the church today to preserve peace and tranquility, because we have our own ideas about how things should be done, and sometimes we almost give them the authority of Scriptures. We shouldn't do it. And the Lord tells us here through Paul, the Holy Spirit tells us through Paul, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant?" If he needs judgment, the Lord will take care of that. You know, I think sometimes we do our Lord a great injustice, a great disservice, in not letting him be Lord of the church. We do not need to be the Lord of the church. We do not need to set the standards. We do not need to indeed help other people into our slot of thinking. Not at all. We go on. Verse 5. "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks." Take, for instance, the Jewish abhorrence of swine's flesh. Now, after he gets saved, he is in, and is in the church, if you please. He does not like the thought of eating swine's flesh. Now, the Gentile, he has no trouble. And now, the Jewish person, the Jewish Christian, and they're Christians, both the Jew and the Gentile, the Christians we're considering, and the Jewish Christian sits down and he says, oh, thank God, I don't have to eat swine's flesh. And he thanks God for that privilege, that he doesn't have to eat it. Now, the Gentile, he says, oh, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful pork roast. And he thanks God for it. They both thank God for it. And do you know what I think? I think God is pleased and respects their preferences, respects their background. Let's go on. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. And let's let him be Lord. Let's let him decide these issues that are certainly questionable. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Verse 10. Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We do not need to do the judging. There is one judge that knows the motive of every heart and understands the background of the person. And we read verse 14, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We don't have to give an account. We don't have to order the life of another Christian. We give account of ourselves. Now, if sin is involved, if whatever that Christian is doing is absolute contrary to the plain language of the Scriptures, we are, according to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, we are to go to that person in humility and tell him about it. But these are the questionable things, and that sometimes is indeed hard to settle among Christian people. Now, what do we do? Well, we're told in the 15th chapter what we are to do. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now we've got the God of patience for our help. And has he been patient with us? Oh, has he been patient with us? In Matthew chapter 18, we are told about a man, and Peter asks a question that prompts the Lord to speak this parable. And we read there about a certain Lord who had a man that was indebted to him to the amount of 10,000 talents. That is a great sum of money. I've never really figured it out. But it would be pretty close to $1 million at least, perhaps more, I don't know. And he tells the man, pay up. And he says he can't do it. So he says, well, sell your lands, your good, and sell your people into your family into slavery and pay me. And he says, I can't do it. And he falls down before him and he says, oh, have patience with me. And you know what the Lord did? He forgave him the debt. Now, the same man that was forgiven the debt, this is all in the 18th chapter of Matthew. Read it for yourself. The story is most interesting. He goes out and finds somebody that's indebted to him to the amount of 100 pence, if you please. Now, a pence in our value today is 7.5 cents. And he couldn't pay it. So he took him to the neck and he choked him and he says, pay up or you go to prison. And they sent him to prison. And now some of the friends said, they went back to the Lord and they told him the sad tale of what that servant who had been given, forgiven so much, had done to his fellow servant. Now the Lord takes him, and the Lord takes him and puts him through the mill. He takes him to the spiritual woodshed. And the Lord tells this parable that you and I might have patience with others. Now you and I, and I'm including you, are the 10,000 pound debtors. Our sins against the holy God. Not the fancied wrongs of our brother and sister in Christ, but our sins against God, and He forgave us that debt. Now, why don't we forgive our brethren? We read the last verse of that portion, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And if you don't, he'll take you to the spiritual woodshed. I've been there. I know what this verse means. Now, think if you will, please. We are to be forgiving of others. We're to be tolerant for their likes and dislikes. Now, we're told there in the 15th chapter of Romans, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, the strong person is to forgive his brother and not to interfere with his conscience. Now, you can go ahead, but he's going to find fault with you if you don't. What do you do in a case like that? You don't do it just to keep from stumbling him. How do you do it? Because you're strong. The God of patience has given you patience with that brother, and that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to exercise patience. Now, it's not a matter if he's controlling my conscience by his conscience, and he shouldn't tell me that. It's a matter of me, out of the kindness of my heart, simply not eating. If meat make my brother to offend, the scripture says don't eat meat. Don't offend him. Don't stumble him, that weak brother. Don't stumble him at all. But just give in, and the God of patience will help you do it. My, the time has gone so quickly for this broadcast, and we have not done it justice. May God help us to realize that we, as those great sinners, the ones with whom God had such patience, that we might have patience with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God help us to do so. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray today that you will help us all to be patient one with the other and respect the other person's point of view. We do thank you, Father, for forgiving us our sins in Christ's dear name. Amen.